Off the Ball Rugby.
Quaid Cooper, Matt Giteau, David Pocock, and those are guys that not only got to learn a lot from, but when I would look across and see them in the change rooms with me, I felt we were always a chance of doing well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.
So, Ireland are up and running at the 2025 Rugby World Cup. It finished Ireland 42, Japan 14 at Franklin's Gardens yesterday lunchtime. And to discuss, we've got two teammates from the 2014 World Cup side on the line. Fiona Hayes is with us. Fiona, how are you doing?
I'm good, Owen. How are you?
Very well, and delighted to say that Tania Rosser is back with us as well. Hey, Tania, how are you keeping?
Yeah, good, thank you. And you?
All good, all good. So, all good as well, I'd imagine, for the Ireland team yesterday. Really hard to pick out a whole pile of negative stuff from it. Six tries, six different try scores. Possibly the most crucial thing is that there are no fresh injury concerns, which you'd definitely be worried about midway through a pool stage in a World Cup. So it all felt quite comfortable at the end. The bad news for you both, however, is that the 42 points that Ireland scored yesterday beats Ireland's previous record at a Women's Rugby World Cup, which was your 40 points that you put up against Kazakhstan in 2014. So knocked off your perch, Fiona.
Yeah, look, and that was the one game I started in the World Cup, so we'll say we should have got a few more. They can blame it on me. But no, look, it was just a brilliant way to start the tournament. Obviously, such different, I have to just chat about it, Owen, such different surroundings. Having, obviously, I was at the one in Ireland, but from the one I played at in 2014, to see the fans that were there, to see the tournament, kids everywhere, families everywhere, roaring, shouting, match was finished, there was hundreds of people waiting for the girls to go around and sign balls, and just the general atmosphere in Northampton, and I've heard it was the same in most of the games across the weekend, just really shows how far the game has come. But to have that atmosphere and those girls put in that performance, I think that's what's absolutely making me so happy today as well, for them to start it off like that and really, I suppose, put those nerves that you're starting out a tournament to bed.
How big a challenge is that actually going to be for all of the players in this tournament, Fiona? Just trying to deal with something that, as you point out there, is just totally different to anything they would have experienced in their career before now.
Yeah, look, I think there's probably a good mix of sevens in there as well. And they were at the Olympics and I was over for that and watching Amy Lee, Stacey, Eve Higgins, all those girls run out to thousands of people roaring and shouting. I suppose they've had that on the seven circuit, but they'll be able to talk to the girls about it. I have to say, I was on the side of Amy Lee's wing when she scored that first try, but just that kickoff, she started raising her hands up to the crowd on that side, on the halfway line where I was standing, and everybody just loved it. So she had no nerves. She was enjoying the atmosphere. Some of them looked a little bit, not nervous, but you know, in awe of what's going on. But the minute the ball was kicked off, I've spoken about the last two previous games, how they've probably started slow. That was put to bed. They really went out there, started hard, started fast. They got a couple of tries in and they just looked to really have learned and zoned out from what's been, I suppose, the atmosphere that's going around them. And Tanya might know more on this, but I would imagine they've spent a lot of time in camp working on that and how to cope with that pressure and that noise when you're trying to call lineouts or different things. So it's certainly something that they would have known going into the tournament. When you're there, it's a different story, but I thought they started well and looked calm and composed.
Yeah, and like if we were to pick out some issues from yesterday, it would be the line-out, and maybe that is a factor in it. And we will come to the line-out in a moment. I'm just keen to pick through some of the key moments of the game. First of all, Tania, I said a moment ago that there was no real doubt at the end, but there was definitely doubt in my mind 53 minutes on the clock when Japan are bearing down on Ireland's line. That, like, to talk about a moment being crystallised as the crucial moment in the game would be an understatement. That 14 point swing, the interception from Higgins to go up the other end, it relieved all the pressure and it won the game for Ireland in one fell swoop.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? I was worried at that point because I actually really thought Japan were going to get in there because they were playing some good rugby at that stage. But then our defensive line held up. And Eve Higgins was phenomenal yesterday. Her defensive read to get the inset was great. But you're right, we were a bit iffy on some of the occasions there, and the line out, we're a little bit under pressure as well. But to hold them out and for Eve, that was just an individual brilliant read. Mm. That wasn't a system. That wasn't a defensive system. Eve just saw an opportunity and she took it. And thank God she took it because they would have scored. And then that's a different game. It's 21 points to Japan. But yesterday was really, really exciting. I don't think the girls worry too much about the fans, to be honest, because they've got great fan engagement. They always stick around. They always talk to the fans. If anything, I'm hoping they'll feed off this because they deserve this, right? And putting in a good performance and winning against Japan is phenomenal. They did really well. But I will say, I was worried when Japan was attacking. I don't know how many phases they had that ball for, and they had plenty of space out wide, and the individual read from Eve really saved us on that.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know how the game would have gone if Japan had scored. Like, Ireland did play well after that, and maybe the extra bit of fitness that seemed to be evident at the end and the bench press from Ireland as well, Ireland probably still would have won the game, but it would have made things far more interesting from a neutral standpoint. It is fascinating that not only were there six different try scorers yesterday, Tania, but it also felt like six totally different ways to score tries.
Yeah, really, really nice, because we've been watching the last few games and the attack hasn't really clicked. And this game, they've seemed to be able to put a bit more, a bit more variety to their game. Also, having Bavin and Amy Lee in the background with speed coming around the back, it was really, really good. And then again, I'm going to have to say her name again, Eve Higgins, her ability to step back inside, beat people and then offload has really added to it. So we're now scoring tries with our forwards, which is great, and our backs. And previously we didn't have that. We didn't really have a great attacking game. But it's improved. Let me say it's really different. Yesterday it was really nice to see. I think Dana did well pretty much with her kicking. I think her kicking game was really, really good. Japan probably didn't do the homework enough on that. And I think our forward carries, we're quite dominant. Now, Japan are tiny, and I get that. It'll be a different game when we come up against Spain and the likes of New Zealand. But they did well with what they had in front of them. So I'm delighted from that, from a performance point of view.
Yeah, do you want to pick up on that, Fiona? The multifaceted approach to Ireland's attack. Like, Eve Higgins was obviously awesome yesterday, but I even think just the pure dedication and fitness from Fiona Toot to actually be with her after Higgins makes that brilliant break. I think that there's lots of other elements outside of the wingers and Higgins that are commendable from that attacking performance.
Yeah, look, and what I saw early doors was, I've watched this Irish team for a long time, and I think Scott Beaman's approach early days was probably a lot of kicking and just bat Dana's game inside their own half. So rather give bigger teams back the ball and reset. So especially in that Canada game, I thought in the first half, they moved on from it in the second half and took the shackles off. But I think what he saw in that second half made them go out against Japan and really focus on the attack. And that started for me, I think it was about 6 minutes in, and the ball came back to Dana inside her 22. I'm going to say she was about 8 meters out. Just what you're thinking is Dana's going to get the ball. She's going to kick it out. And instead she looked up and they attacked that open side. And I think Amy Lee gained maybe about 40 meters. They recycled and eventually played some really, really good phases, but they weren't doing that in the past. So I feel like the attack is, yes, they have the kicking game, but now they're backing it. And I thought their handling skills at times was unbelievable to watch yesterday. The likes of Stacey Lee, Eve Higgins, Aoife Dalton was exceptional. And Dana, her kicking approach was unbelievable, but I thought how she put people into space, she's kind of moved on in her game as well. So it was really good to see. Will they do that against New Zealand? I don't know. But I think against Japan, against Spain, they're getting a chance to really show their attack. And if they can get positivity and, you know, be really confident in that, maybe they might try it in the big games. They might try and go wide off those early phases. And it just makes defence question things. So I was excited at seeing that. Obviously, we know how they can attack from set piece and our threats outside. Probably in the first half, they'll be a little bit disappointed with the line out that they weren't able to do that. There was a few fumbles, a couple of crooked throws. That happens. But it really kind of, when we look at Ireland, those strike plays off set piece, we've said they're excellent. What I thought was that open play and how they handled and how they went wide and just how they recycled the ball quickly as well was exceptional to see. And just as well, Owen, I won't keep talking, but you mentioned Fiona Toot. To start at six, Not that I questioned anything around it, but I've seen her so much in the second row, you wouldn't see those big ball carries. She put in an exceptional performance at that blindside on Saturday. I was over, it was the work rate. You spoke about the try, Tanya, and she was, but off the ball, what she was doing, how she was cleaning out. It was just really exciting to see that variety in the back row, and they have those players available now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, sorry about Fiona, is that we haven't seen that side of game with her at second row.
Yeah.
But now she's in back row, they've kind of let her go a bit, and it's great to see, because I hadn't seen that in previous games from her, and she really stepped up yesterday, you know, some carries and what she was doing around the pitch, which is really, really good, because in that second row, I just think she was a bit, maybe not stagnant, but just a bit quieter in the second row. So it's nice to see her at six doing that.
It begs the immediate question, do you keep her in the back row when we have everybody fit and available, most notably when Aoife Wafer comes back into consideration? Like, obviously Wafer can play eight, not just six.
If Aoife Wafer comes back in, she won't keep six. Because where would you put Brittany Hogan? And Brittany Hogan was phenomenal. She's really stepped up the last two games. She's really taken on a leadership role, a ball carry role. She's her breakdown and content is so good that he won't, I don't think he would drop her if Aoife's in. Then I'd say Aoife's back into back row. Fiona Toot maybe back into the second row. But if Aoife's available, I don't see Fiona. No matter how good she played yesterday, I don't see her. Maybe she starts and Aoife comes in, because Aoife won't get a full game. We won't get a full game out of Aoife in the first game she's back. But I would have Aoife Wafer in my back line, back row, sorry.
Yeah. You never in your back line as well.
It's centre. First receiver.
But it's a good point. Hopefully this is a conversation we'll have to have, because that means Aoife Wafer will have got some minutes under her belt against New Zealand. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but this is likely the conversation we'll have before a quarter final about what to actually do when Aoife Wafer's back to actually being in consideration for a starting place in this team. There's loads of what you've both been talking about there, so we'll go through them kind of talking point by talking point. Just to go back to Dana O'Brien again, her position has never been in doubt. I think the coaching ticket have really backed her, and maybe there's a lack of depth at 10 in Irish rugby, but I also think there's been an appreciation behind the scenes of her quality and her potential level, even though she hasn't always been 100% accurate off the tee, for example. Yesterday, one of her finest games in an Ireland shirt. She was brilliant from play, off the tee obviously as well. And we got to remind ourselves at this point too, Tanya, she's still only 21.
Yeah, she's only young. Like, she played like she was like 25, 26 years of experience. What I like about this is they've actually given her the confidence and they've believed in her. And I think Dana is a confidence player. She needs someone behind her, backing her and helping her along and things like that. So I'm delighted they have been patient with her and they've had let her grow. And I'm just excited to see her in two or three games' time when she comes up against those bigger teams like the Black Ferns. Is she going to cope with that pressure? How are the others around her going to step up to take the pressure away from her? Out half is a difficult position. You mean, if you watch, I don't know, someone like Johnny Sexton, or how long did it take for them to become experts at the position? And she's done it. She's not an expert yet. She's still learning. But the biggest thing that what I've taken away from this whole campaign is that Scott has given her the confidence and the belief in her so she can play now. I like that she's now trying different things. There's one area, though, that I would love her to be more confident in, is that the contact area. There was a loose ball and she should have just dove down on it, and instead she swung at it and kicked it. And that's just Dana, though. She, you know, but I'm super proud of her. I've watched her since she's 15, 16, and now for her to be on the international stage doing her stuff, 100% kick rate, is fantastic.
And had she always been earmarked, Tanya, as the Ireland 10, even from a very young age?
So we would have, in Leinster, we spotted her when she was 15, 16, and she has been in our pathway since then. So even when Greg McWilliams came in, she was flagged with him way back then. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Fiona, on her performance, like, so many different facets of it that are worth pointing out, even when it came to one or two of her defensive kicks. I mean, she's got serious yardage on that left boot at this point as well.
Oh, look, I think, you know, obviously every 10 is going to have a couple errors. I think she might have had one out in the full. But what she done before that was, from the crowd's perspective, I was standing beside Northampton fans, obviously ticket holders, that were just coming to watch the game from the local area. And the distance she was getting on her kick, they were almost comparing to Finn Smith, how she exited the ball. There was a beautiful 50-22 early on where she actually switched play and went back down. She spotted. What I've seen with her, and Tanya spoke about a lot, is she's now looking up, since obviously we know that 50-22 is there, but with the, she normally with her left boot, she's playing similar ways. But what she was doing yesterday is looking up, constantly looking into that backfield to see had anyone even moved. It mightn't have always worked out for her. A couple might have gone down the middle, but what a couple that did hit those tram lines and really put the Japanese defence under pressure. And especially in that first 20 minutes, I thought it was the best kicking, not even from the tee, from hand, was unbelievable. But I will say this, what I did notice was Japan were actually, especially off the back of a lineout, were actually targeting her. So you could see she's had to make a couple of defensive hits as well. She might have slid off a couple of tackles. That her confidence in that area, probably the more she plays, the more she's under pressure, it'll come up and up. She's 21 years of age. She's still making those tackles, but certainly from, and every 10 in the world will experience this. We see it even with Sam Prendergast. She's going to be targeted from now on, especially in those big ball carriers coming down her channel. And she's growing in that side of things as well. Obviously not at the top of her game, because as I said, she's quite young and she's such an athlete. But what I'm seeing with her is defensively, she's getting a little bit better every game. And it's a confidence thing with her as well. Once she gets low and hits it, it's unbelievable. She makes that chop and bounces.
Okay, so real positivity with regards to Ireland's 10 after yesterday afternoon. If you go from that maybe to the biggest work on before the second game, it's obviously the line-out for Ireland, which is giving people cause for concern. The reality is, Fiona, Ireland probably should have won this game by more yesterday, which might become something that becomes a bit of an issue the closer we come, especially to the Black Ferns game in a couple of weeks. It's hard to, you know, blame it on any one aspect of the line-out. Yeah. For example, if you take the first line-out that doesn't go to plan, the throw and the fetch is all perfect. It's actually when they get down, it's overcomplicated a little bit on the ground and they end up losing the ball. A couple of them are crooked, obviously. Very, very frustrating, I'd imagine, for the hooker and for the team at that point. And then there are some other factors at play for one or two of the other line-outs that didn't go to plan. So is that a good thing or a bad thing that it's multifactorial, the issues in that first half?
Really good thing, I think. And they had 21 lineouts, so they actually percentage, they were at 89%. So because there were so many, I suppose we really focused on the early doors, those misses. What I found when I was watching it at the time, and they look at this and they'll review it, in those first few lineouts, they went, and I think it was Fiona Shoot maybe calling, they went to Fiona Shoot every single time. It was in different places, but it was the same jumper. And I found that sometimes with the Japanese and any team, they'll target that. They'll see by her movement, they'll have their triggers and they'll know Fiona Chute is jumping. And with Ireland, for those first few lineouts, they were putting, I suppose, Niamh under a little bit of pressure, because what Japan were doing, they were reading it, they were getting up, they were competing, which some teams don't with Ireland, especially when they try to defend their maul. The crooked throw, look, the hooker put their hands up and take that. What frustrated me, and this is maybe, and Tanya will probably disagree with me now because I'm an old school coach, was when we were 5 metres out to just, they call it short lineout, there was absolutely no need to put the hooker under that type of pressure and go the full way back to the 15. And they'll review that and they'll see that. That just puts Niamh Jones under savage pressure. Japan eventually scored off it. And because they'd shortened the line out and their footwork was so good, the space was actually there at the front, simple ball. So they're probably overcomplicating it at times. But look, that's what these games are. They're trying a bit of variety and they back their jumpers, they back their lifters and they tried it. But they'll probably go back to a little bit of basics, we'll see, with Spain, where they're a little bit quicker off the ground. Because the longer you are getting in, you're putting that hooker under more and more pressure, especially with the crowd and everyone shouting around you.
Yeah, the feeling definitely early in the game was that Ireland felt like they were in a good place with their line-out. Otherwise, they don't go to the corner early doors with that penalty. The Niamh Jones try obviously comes off it. And look, there's a string of errors after that. But at least, Tania, the players felt that they had all the preparation done and they didn't take the points in that instance. So they are probably as surprised as anybody that things didn't go to plan in that first half.
Yeah, I think so. I think you need to back your players and back your line-out. But I do agree with Fiona. I think sometimes just keep it simple as, like, straight up at two for me is the easiest ball to win if you've got good tempo in that. But Japan were really good. They read it well. They were throwing two pods up at a time and then were trying to throw over the first pod, and which does you just can't do. So you've got to move your jump again and get in front of that front pod. But, you know, like 89% is pretty good, and we can't really – we always just pick at the negatives of what's going on with this Irish team. I did think when we made the switch at hooker, I thought that was quite interesting because then they settled down quite a bit, and that was with all their subs as well. But I think is the right person calling the lineouts in those situations? I don't know if you'd know this better. Is it Sam or is it Fiona? For me, I would probably look back to Sam to do the calling because she'll use more variety than Fiona. I just think we can't use the same jumpers all the time. I think we need a bit more variety on that. But, and you know, we had that. The other reason why I think he went for Fiona too is to attack the line out and go for their line out as well. And we've got more options with Fiona in back row now because the others aren't really options in there. But yeah, I think keep it basic. I just go back to simple line outs. We don't need to overcomplicate it. And sometimes some coaches do like these fancy lineouts, but I think sometimes straight up a two and keep it simple, get it down, drive, we're done.
Yeah. Do you want to come in at that point, Fiona?
Yeah, and Tania is correct, like especially when you're defending 5 metres out. So obviously you like to try things when you've got more space and the attack is so good, but Tania's spot on. Simple when you just want to nail that ball. You're a couple of tries ahead, a really good exit. It settles everyone down. And they had created it by the movement. It was probably just the wrong space they picked because they actually moved them and then went to the back again. So there was stuff there. But I do feel like Alex Codling has come in and the line-out has grown and grown. And there is variety there. I've spoken to Jane Clossy. She's obviously not on the squad, but she was involved in camp. And she just speaks so highly of the variety he's brought, how he teaches them, how everything about it. And it's all got to do with speed. And look, as the game flows on, we saw Cliona comes on. She relaxes everything. She's that type of character. We know, like, she's been in a World Cup before. But certainly, I thought Niamh was brilliant. Will she be a bit rattled when she looks back at the lineouts? Yes, but I do believe you can blame a few different areas. Overthrows or crooked lineouts, hookers will hold up their hand. But if you look closely, there was probably a couple of missed calls. There was maybe off on full jump. So these things are all easily fixed. And I personally wouldn't be worried about it because I've seen how they've grown and grown. They might, as Tania said, go back to just to settle things down early doors in Spain, a little bit more basic. And as the game evolves, then you can start. Even, sir, I just give you an example. The very first line out, which I would find, you know, yes, it's good. I love a good transfer. But you didn't need to transfer on that first line-out. I just felt like there was a knock-on eventually on the back of that. So you've already transferred the ball, whereas Japan, you need to trick them into going and hitting that mall. Japan actually had hit the transfer because they had enough time. They didn't even hit the original mall. So if they'd done that early and then maybe as the game progressed, tried a few different things, I just thought they were probably a little bit nervy. It's a World Cup early doors. But as the game progressed and they settled down, I mean, it was just really good to watch, and I wouldn't be worried about that line out at all one bit.
Okay, so far too early in the tournament to be panicking about that. Yeah, you are listening to Fiona Hayes and Tania Rosser and the Rugby World Cup show on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. Just before we go to the break, the other potential criticism of this Ireland team, and it didn't really feel like it was overly exposed yesterday, Tania, is just Ireland's defence in the wide channels. Why is this criticism out there and how real is it?
Because any other good team will exploit it.
Right.
You play like that, you defend like that, the Black Ferns are going to run down that channel. England will spot it, France will spot it. And luckily enough, Japan weren't good enough to get to those wide channels. So we're quite really narrow on our defensive system. Also, the backfield space, there's plenty of backfield space there for teams to attack as well. So that would be my concern. So I don't know whether they've got their spacing right, lack of communication, or it was a defensive ploy against Japan. It could easily have been a defensive ploy just for the Japanese game, and then they go back to spreading the field a bit more. But any good team will exploit those wide channels. They'll get outside Parsons and them and have a field day.
Yeah, that definitely seems like one of the possibilities here, Fiona, is that they knew it wouldn't be exploited by Japan.
Yeah, look, and to be fair, they did test Japan's skill set at times. We saw in that first half when they brought pressure, you know, you spoke about Eve Higgins, Tanya on attack. What about Aoife Dalton on defence at times? Just some of those hits, so you could hear the crunch in the stand. She's always going to lead the line. She's up there. She's that dominant 13. She's got to connect, whether they play that system where she connects with the 12 or they let her go and everyone else has to get up with her. I don't know their system, but her bringing it up and the wingers coming up, it really put Japan under pressure. Tanya's right. Against New Zealand, they'll pop that over their heads and they will get caught out wide. But certainly, I feel like they know that. I haven't seen it as quite aggressive on the outside channels as I have in the past. I haven't seen that before, sorry. So I feel like they probably were trying that for the Japan game. But certainly, as well, there was huge moments in defence, even by the try line, backs, forwards. You know, we talk about the tries scored. Japan were actually exceptional at times in the second half and how they attacked and the chops, Nivo Dow, how low they got, Linda Zhugang just getting in under. And it was Adele McMahon, we call her Tricky. She was up there with 17 tackles. And, you know, we speak about the other back rows, but what she done defensively, the energy they brought was brilliant. I do feel like we will see a change in that system because there was way too much space out there. But I think they were just trying something, trying to bring that aggression. Whether they were all connected, it probably didn't happen. But you look back at that and you'll be able to fix that for the games going forward.
Okay.
Yeah, I think against Spain, I think they'll employ the same tactics, but hopefully just hold a bit more width between them and trust the width, the distance and that. I think they'll look to put Spain under the same amount of pressure because Spain, similar to Japan, ain't skillful. They won't have the skill level of New Zealand and that. But that the defensive centre, that centre partnership yesterday were really good. They worked really, really well. They actually complement each other so well, both in attack and defence. Aoife Dalton, the defensive queen, we might as well call her, her work rate was phenomenal. Yeah. But I just think once they get their spacing right in the bigger games, hopefully that, you know, Parson and Aimley are fast. If someone gets around them, they're going to chase back. My concern is, will they get, if they stick to the system, will New Zealand tie those wingers in so that they've got the outside the back to play around them and go at Stacey Flood in the backfield?
Yeah.
So,
actually, sorry, can we all take a minute to appreciate Neve Jones and Nivo Dowd doing that, running back 50 metres and making that cover tackle on Japanese. I mean, you've two front runners there. They beat the front line of defence. It's not your hooker and prop that you expect to be the one. So they're working really hard. Yes, it's Lloyd Smith. There's going to be things wrong, but I feel like the defence is getting better and better each game I watch. The connections are getting better. It's just if there's an error at that level, and Tanya will tell you, or in New Zealand, England, everyone, you're punished massively. So they've just got to decide what they're doing, I suppose, in the games.
Okay, loads still to come from Tanya and Fiona. We'll take a look ahead to what's next for Ireland after the break.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.
Welcome back. Fiona Hayes and Tanya Ross are with us on the line reflecting on Ireland's brilliant win against Japan yesterday in the Rugby World Cup. Things get a little trickier this weekend against Spain. Actually, let's ask that as a question. Do things get trickier this weekend against Spain, Fiona? They're similarly ranked. In fact, are Japan two places ahead of Spain? So maybe up front and in terms of power, we can expect a bit more of a challenge in that regard. But perhaps Spain don't have the same level of quality out the back as the Japanese did.
Yeah, look, and I thought the Japanese back row were absolutely outstanding at targeting Ireland's breakdown, so they'll have to be a bit better. I know Spain have a couple of threats there. Look, I would feel, having watched Japan and Spain in the last couple of years, that the Japanese are probably a stronger, well-drilled unit. Spain have their threats. We know they love throwing the ball around. Even that sevens background, they were quite good at sevens for years, but I'm not sure the same level of investment has gone into Spain as other countries. So I feel like they haven't lagged behind, but they're not quite where they used to be when they caused Ireland that big upset. They were absolutely outstanding, a really, really good team. But I feel like Ireland have invested in the in their programme and maybe just pushed on a little bit. But certainly, I wouldn't. Spanish scrum over the years has been like a place where they pride themselves on their ball skills, their handling. Everything about it is really good to watch. But Tanya is right. Ireland will bring that pressure. Whether Spain can sustain that, I'm not too sure. But I would imagine that probably. I'd like to see a couple of changes. I think this is a game where Scott could make a few changes. You don't want to change too much, but give those big game players a rest, especially with that focus on New Zealand, the last group. The girls that are there, you bring a big squad for a reason and they'll certainly be able to step up to play it. And I'd love to see even Nicole Fowley getting a shot at 10. Dana, we know what she can do, but just to change things up, because Tanya spoke about it and you said it, Owen, like we're lucky there hasn't been a huge injury. So you want to test it. It's a World Cup game. You have the utmost respect for Spain, but a couple of changes will I suppose I'd like to see in that squad going into the game.
Yeah, there's been an element of intrigue as well in the aftermath of the weekend. So Ruby Toohey, who's been a great pundit so far, to be fair, on the BBC, she drops this bombshell on the BBC. We heard the other night that Ireland aren't going to take that Black Ferns game seriously. I don't buy it, she said afterwards. It's a double bluff. So for the record, she's got some information that they're not taking it seriously, and she's saying that's not going to be the case, that Ireland will go out hammer and tongs. Scott Beamont, to be fair to him, I mean, he's taking this pretty lightheartedly, I think. He said she hadn't heard that from anybody in Ireland. We'll take this competition seriously. We'll pay the competition the respect it's due, and we'll compete for every moment within this competition. I don't know where she got that information from, Tanya, because I can't really see a coherent argument out there for Ireland to do anything other than treat that New Zealand game as the be-all and end-all.
Look, if you know Ruby, Ruby's going to put a spin on anything she hears. I mean, she's great for the game and everything. She's picked up like a passing comment from someone that's not in the Irish camp and she's run with it. And this is just a little bit of a drama that they love to put spin on things. Scott's not going to take this lighthearted. He's going to go out hammer and toe and give it a go. Why not? Why not finish top of your table if you can? And if we finish top of the table, put it off our pool, we get it. It's an easier semi-final, but I think this is just Ruby's taking something to this big armor that she likes.
Sorry, Tanya. I think Ruby Toohey's people have got into your internet there and have slowed down your connection. We'll just try and reestablish that with you. It's gone to dial-up level there, unfortunately. Fiona, just on that point, so Ireland, obviously, if they top the group, if they beat the Black Ferns, would get an easier quarter-final. But topping their group, because England are going to top theirs, means they would avoid England until the final. And England, for my money, have been the only team in world rugby that Ireland have looked a bit off. It seems like they can. Maybe they won't necessarily be the favourites to beat everybody else in the world, but they can beat any other team in the world, it seems. So avoiding England until the final, it's an optimistic thing to say, but that would be a knock-on benefit of beating the Black Ferns.
Yeah, it'd be huge. And look, I think what you're looking on the other side, unless there's a big upset, is you can also avoid France, who are ranked ahead of Ireland. So that's actually a huge thing. Now I'm looking at South Africa and how they're playing, and they're absolutely outstanding. Some of the tries they scored, Italy, we know they can bring. But certainly, I think Tanya's right. I think Ruby's trying to wind things up, and you know, it's good for the game as well. Scott getting asked, he was very PC with his answer. I thought he was brilliant. I'm in a couple of WhatsApp groups that were like, that was spot on. He nailed it. It was really good answer. I don't know if I would have had the same answer myself as a coach. I would be wondering, where'd you hear this? But look, it's all part of the game. It's great buzz. All, as he said, there's all eyes on this tournament, and to have that and those questions being asked and said, I mean, we know there's already something there as well. When they were calling Red Scrum Cap Aoife Wafer, and then afterwards we were saying, you'll know her name now from that game. So there's a nice little bit of banter going on there. But I do feel like, especially after that game, that this New Zealand squad absolutely respect this Irish team as well, because they've got that win under their belt and they'll be just trying to create a little bit of something pre-game, I think.
On a final point on this, Tanya, It's great that we're in a position that all this intrigue and this talk and this level of rumour has got into the Rugby World Cup. I mean, Fiona described it brilliantly at the start that this feels big time. These things swirling around a camp in a World Cup, it feels like a big tournament moment. And obviously Ireland missed out on this 3 years ago and haven't had this feeling since 2017 to be in the biggest competition in world rugby. This is all part of it. The intrigue is all part of it. And I think that informs Beaman's tone where it's like, God, this is actually pretty good that this is the sort of noise around the team.
Yeah, I mean, other countries are now talking about the Irish team. We haven't had that in previous years, you know. We've been the underdogs that don't perform or haven't performed, you know. But now New Zealand are worried about Ireland. New Zealand want to beat Ireland. New Zealand need to beat Ireland. You know, we've got the best record against New Zealand at a World Cup. And they're worried. They are worried. They've brought in different people to help with their culture and that to get over this. They've done their homework this time. They didn't pay them the respect the last time. They didn't know who Aoife Wathwell was. I mean, one of my best friends, coaches in the Black Ferns, and they hadn't done their research. I mean, the disrespect you showed Ireland the last time really bit them. So now they are doing their homework, and they will be out looking to make sure that they nail it against Ireland. I don't write us off at all. I think we're really good. I think we're fit. I think we've got a better game plan and, you know, more awareness about how we want to play now. I think we really have got a chance at finishing top of the pool. And let's see where we go from there. But I wouldn't write the girls off. I mean, all this talk is just feeding the fuel. That's all I say is, like, you want to, the one thing I know about the Irish, if someone says anything bad or damning about us, we step up and we go and we fight again. And you guys, we've always done that. The Irish have always done that no matter what. And that's what I'm really looking forward to, that game, that third game, and see how we react to the Black Ferns' comments.
Yeah. Tania, we were chatting to Anna Capeless last week, and she described the Black Ferns as werewolves, that the full moon is the World Cup and they come out, and when it gets to the big competition, to the big show, they really show up. And England have found that out to their detriment time and time again in this competition. Could something similar happen this year in England's home tournament?
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, New Zealand know how to win World Cups. They've been winning them all the time. And England have fallen short on sword, I don't know how many times now. And we look at New Zealand through those cycles and we're like, oh, they're terrible. They've had a bad run and da, da, da. And then they come in to the World Cup, a totally different team. So the team we saw last year when we played them, it's non doesn't exist anymore. They've moved on, they've shifted, and they just know how to win games. Similar to us, though, they've really integrated their sevens players really, really well. Like Georgia Miller for them.
Yeah.
Well. Phenomenal. Like, I knew her from the sevens and unbelievable. You watched her yesterday. She's running in tries the length of the pitch. She's amazing. So they've done that really well, and they transition their players really, really well. They just know how to win World Cups, unfortunately. And I think maybe that could be the banana peel for England as well. Do England cave under pressure at this World Cup? We'll soon see. They have it. They struggle to win World Cups, England do.
Just one last thing, Fiona. It does feel as if this Ireland team have a lot of really positive emotion driving it on, and they've tapped into different aspects of that. It seems that they had jerseys laid out for them yesterday with names of their loved ones on it. The news, obviously, last week of Shannon Ikahi-Fifo and her breast cancer diagnosis was something that was mentioned by Emily Costigan in the aftermath of the game yesterday. It really touched us closely because our friend, that's what she did for her. On that note, I'd like to wish Shannon all the best with her recovery. We love her so much. We're behind her every step of the way. So that's clearly something that they've been speaking about in camp. And they're all varying degrees of seriousness, obviously, but it feels that motivationally this is a finely tuned Ireland team.
Yeah, and look, I feel like that was something they lacked in previous year. All what Scott and the coaching team have come in, and they just have, we know the green wave and that was brought, and it represents different things for different people. It will represent different things to the public in them. But what I found is that with Ireland and with certain players and what we have and how we play and how we perform, and Tania touching it the way she spoke, it's tapping into that. It's that culture, tapping into we're the underdogs, or we're focusing on this, or having something that everyone can agree on and be able to focus on that for those big wins. And this team, in particular have so much going on in the background, and how they communicate with each other and how they talk. You very rarely find out what's going on in the group. You know, over the years you'd hear this and that. Now it's everything is in camp. They're really happy. They're like a close family. How they communicate to the outside world is what they want you to hear. And it's working really well for them. And I think having the emotion of family, the Irish supporters and the Irish players that have been there over the years and are going to those games have always been there. And I think these girls in particular and the coaching staff are tapping into that as well, because they've been there through the hard times. And now these have been invested in, they're physically fit, the rugby is really good, the skill set is good, and they want to show the public exactly what has been missing for the last few years. So I think it's been really brilliantly done. And I suppose that's what's exciting about it, having them come out and chat about different things that you've never even heard of. So it's a very close-knit group, and I think it's working really well for them.
Yeah, it certainly has so far. It's same again next Sunday, hopefully, Ireland back at Franklin's Gardens, 12 o'clock Sunday afternoon against Spain, and then obviously the following week, Brighton for that huge, potentially huge game against the Black Ferns. You've been listening to Fiona Hayes and Tania Rosser. Brilliant stuff, folks. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Cheers.
Mel.
Thanks, Owen.
See ya.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
Anyone can dream it, but to be it, you must never stop competing. Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish women's rugby.